Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, text number 29, observing the armies. Vipatuscha sharireme Ramaharshastra jayate Gandivam shamshite hastat Tyakshaiva paridayate. Vipatu, trembling of the body. Cha, also. Sharire, on the body. Me, my. Ramaharsha, standing of the hair on the end. Cha, also. Jayate, is taking place. Gandivam, the bow of Arjuna. Shamsite, is slipping. Hastat, from the hand. Tvak, skin. Cha, also. Eva, certainly, Paidayate, is burning. My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bow Gandiva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. Purport. There are two kinds of trembling of the body. Two kinds of standing on the hair on end. Such phenomena occur either in great spiritual ecstasy or out of great fear under material conditions. There's no fear in transcendental realization. Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. This is evident from other symptoms also. He became so impatient that his famous bow Gandiva was slipping from his hands. And because his heart was burning within him, he was feeling a burning sensation of the skin. All these are due to a material conception of life. Interesting to note that what is sometimes symptom of transcendental ecstasy can also be symptom of material consciousness. It is said that out of ecstasy, out of the ecstatic energy, then that agitates the life hairs. And when the life hairs are agitated, depending on which life hair is agitated, different symptoms are there. When the fire element is agitated, for instance, there's perspiration. When the air element is agitated, there's trembling of the body. When the water element is agitated, there's tears from the eyes. Tears. And when the earth element is agitated, there's becoming stunned. But also, at a material, on the mental platform, out of fear, it can also be things like becoming stunned. Or out of material consciousness, when the mind becomes agitated due to fear or anger or lust, there are also symptoms such as trembling, out of fear, material fear, or crying out of lamentation. So these different types of, the question is what the cause is. So that's not always easy to ascertain. For instance, as I mentioned that in Vrindavan there are persons, or actually everywhere nowadays, there are persons who imitate transcendental ecstasy. I personally witnessed in the Vrindavan temple one time, two men dressed as women came in, which is quite common in the West nowadays, but I guess it was common back then. They were Garanganagaris. Garanganagaris? Sakibekis, actually. Sakibekis. And they came in, and during the kirtan, they fell on the floor and they started to roll around. So the devotees didn't know what to do. This is in the early 70s. So they asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada mentioned that these two men came in, they dressed as women, Sakibekis, and they were rolling on the ground during the kirtan, on the floor, on the temple room floor. What should we have done? And Prabhupada says you should have gone up to them and kicked them in the head. That's a logical thing to do. Prabhupada said if they were in ecstasy, they wouldn't have noticed that you kicked them in the head. And if they were just pretending, then they would have run out. You don't have to kick them very hard in the head. You don't have to break their head, but no, we think it's, you know, it's just normal that people are such cheaters that they imitate transcendental ecstasy. But foolish people, they actually take them seriously. And they start their own sampradaya and they deviate people from the actual path. In other words, if people come to our temple, especially our temple, where we're trying to give them the actual process of developing real transcendental ecstasy, people impose themselves and they start imitating and try to mislead people, then they should be taken care of. The king in the Veda culture, if someone was like that, they would get executed. They didn't, even in the, probably gives the example, even in the Middle East countries, like Saudi Arabia, that if you steal something, then they'll cut your hands off. They don't. Therefore, if someone leaves something on the street, no one will touch it. I read of one incident that there were two British people in a hotel, and they started to accuse the two maids. Of stealing their belongings. So the police came, arrested the maids that were being accused, tried them and cut their hands off. But then they found out that actually they didn't steal anything. That the British people made a mistake. So they arrested the British people, cut their hands off. Now, with such activities, maybe one or two people, they get a very hard lesson, but no one else will do. It's a lesson for everyone to be careful who you're starting to accuse of stealing, and also don't steal. Therefore, they have two persons or a group of people getting their lesson, and everyone else takes note and acts accordingly, and you don't have thievery, you don't have violence. But now you have these liberal people, so-called liberal people. They allow everything to go on, especially in America, which is like the acharya for the Western so-called civilization. It's actually barbaric. Where they have swarms of young people coming into a store and stealing everything. They can't do anything. Matter of fact, now, in certain states in America, you're allowed to shoplift up to $1,000. So of course it just encourages people to become thieves. And the name is so-called liberality. What to speak of killing their children, killing animals. They're just less, the leaders are less than animals. The name is so-called being liberal. They're actually demons. They're encouraging sinful activity. And when Yamaraj gets a hold of them, he's not going to ask for their opinion. Yamaraj is not very liberal. The Yamaduta is up, oh, he's so sweet, just leave him alone. No, they have to be, there's laws of eternal nature, and everyone gets the lessons, ultimately, not according to these whimsical so-called leaders who are just misleaders, but they get justice according to universal law. So here, one should be educated. What is the actual symptoms of ecstasy? Of course, in the Western world, there is no ecstasy. Because there's no process. People don't follow any process to become spiritually elevated. There's some religiosity where there's some lip service towards things like cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truthfulness. But people don't know what austerity is. They don't know what cleanliness is. They don't know what mercy is. They don't know what truthfulness is. Even the devotees don't know that. When I was in Rijeka, in Pula, someone asked me a question about giving charity to people on the street. So I said, that's not according to Bhagavad Gita. If you give charity to a person who's in the mode of ignorance and they utilize it for ignorant reasons, then it's sinful. You get part of their reactions for giving them the energy to do sinful activities. And this lady started to argue with me. You have to be merciful to people, etc. But I don't make the laws of nature. So ultimately, then some other lady started to argue, defend her. Said, well, good luck, They got offended because I told them good luck. I should have, I wish them good luck. Because they're certainly going to need it. If you help a little old lady cross the street, and then she takes out a gun and robs a bank, then you become an accessory to the crime. Without your assistance, you couldn't have robbed the bank. But they know there's no consideration, because there's no belief in Shastra. They think everything is, most people are just impersonalists. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the laws of God. They think the Bible is, you interpret it as you like, and it's all right. Thou shalt not kill is thou shalt not murder. Or you're just switching around whatever you want. Because it's all fairy tales. But they can't deny the fact that our bodies are changing. It's not a fairy tale. You may deny God's existence, but you can't deny the fact that mirtyu sara harastra, at every moment we're going towards death. That's not a fairy tale. They may deny it. They may try to negate it or try to ignore it. But there are laws. Now, who made the law of the fact that your body has to change? And if you don't agree with the law, then stop changing your body. Do something to stop changing your body. Give the scientists $100 trillion to do that. They can't stop their own body from changing. How are they going to stop anyone else from changing? So similarly, there, Bhagavad Gita tells us about very practical information. Practically, when we see trembling, we understand it's out of fear. When we find hair standing on end, it's out of fear. But there's also transcendental ecstasy. Sattvika bhava. So we should try to understand what the difference is. But here Arjuna is displaying material consciousness. Because if it was transcendental ecstasy. There was no reason to speak the Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna would have fought if he was in line with Krishna's desire. So Krishna, out of his special yogamaya potency, put Arjuna into illusion. So Arjuna was displaying what seemed to be the common material emotions in contact with his material consciousness due to his attachment to his family. Now, nowadays, everyone is very generally taught to be very sentimental. Although the people running this place who are actually in control of everything, they're not sentimental at all. They're completely demoniac. They don't start these wars out of sentiment. They don't cheat people by their manipulation of the currency or have a medicine based upon sentiment. They're not sentimental at all. They're reptilian. They have the consciousness of a reptile. They have no sentiment whatsoever. And yet the people are so misled by their propaganda, they do everything sentimentally. Except they have no sentiment most people have no sentiment towards the animals. They don't have any sentiment towards their own children. They don't have any real sentiment. They just believe, because they're working according to their feelings, that they're good people. They feel for others as they starve to death. Because of they create a world based upon ignorance, where people don't know that they're not their body. And they're actually spiritual beings. And that everything is owned and controlled by Krishna, as it says in the Shishupanishad. But out of simply sentiment, they claim that they're good people because they feel for others as they're starving. And maybe they send over give some donation. But because the people are running the whole show, they take 90% or 95% of the donations and use it for their own sense gratification. People just do it so they can feel good, that they're good people. But they're actually not good people. Because by their sinful activities, they're adding to the problems that are going on in the world. Of course they don't know, because they're ignorant. But unfortunately, the material nature doesn't work. As Prabhupada used to say, a child may be ignorant, but if it sticks its hand in the fire, it'll get burnt. You can't say, I'm a child, why are you burning me? I didn't know better. But it's the parent's responsibility to protect the child so that doesn't happen. And it's the leader's responsibility to protect the citizens. And if they're not protected, then it's our responsibility to give them transcendental knowledge. So they know which leaders to elect, which leaders to follow. Other than that, you know, people have Pravitim Cha, Navritim Cha, Jana Navidu, Asura, Isochim Napichacharo, Nisatyam Teshu Vidite. They don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor truthfulness nor proper behavior is found in them. And that's just standard. And why? Asatyam apratishtam te jagaro horanishwaram aparashparam sambhutyam kimaya kamahaitugam. They say the world is unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It produces sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So even the big religions in the world, they don't know who God is. They don't know how the material world was created. They don't know the purpose really of the world. They know something usually about salvation. But what is salvation? Going to the heavenly planets? What is that? Suicide bomber and get 21 virgins in heaven if you kill enough people? Is that knowledge? And that test is religion. The people are saintly people because they're suicide bombers. And I get all the rewards in heaven for killing others. And the Pope and the Catholic religion, his favorite meal, at least I don't know about this Pope, was veal, calf, eating calves. That's the head of the religious society. Now gay marriages, he's incurred. So, where is, they don't know, what is that, adharma, dharma, iti, ya, manite, tamasavritaha, sarvatam, viparitam, sha, buddhi, saparta, tamasi. They think that religion is irreligion, and irreligion is religion. And therefore, they're always striving in the wrong direction. And if we try to give transcendental knowledge, people think we're beggars. We're useless, you know. We're just, you know, out in the street. We're kind of like weird people. Couldn't make it in the material world, so sometimes they put on their bed sheets, the same sheet that they slept in, they wear during the day. They go out in the street and they beg, trying to sell these books that no one can understand, written in some strange language, talking about some coward boy herding cows. Has so many cows, he doesn't eat any of them. See how foolish he is. He's probably, he's not even a vegan. Some people, you know, some people take it seriously. But the whole culture is that the whole entire civilization is probably said meant to people and put people in darkness. It's all meant to make sure that people don't get the real thing, they don't get the real knowledge. They set up the whole thing in such a way is that to divide everyone up, the liberals, the conservatives, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Greens, the Reds, the Blacks, whatever. But they're all in ignorance. They don't know what the problems are, how to solve them. But Bhagavad Gita does actually know what the problems are. So Arjuna here, he's trembling, his hair is on end, because he's taking the part of an ignorant person, just like 99.9% of the people in the world. And all the different sentiments that he's going to display in the next verses, you know, is what most people have. Fear of death, thinking that they're good people because they want to protect their relatives, their bodily conception of life. Nothing about giving them knowledge, transcendental knowledge, even quoting from scripture to defend one's ignorant conceptions of life. So we can read the first chapter because it's setting the scene, and try to understand how Arjuna was in a material conception of life, not unlike the conceptions of life that we ourselves are under. It's not that we read the Bhagavad Gita, therefore no longer in its material conception of life. We're a walking conception of life, material conception of life, with add on to it some purification from a spiritual perspective by doing sadhana bhakti. But we shouldn't think, well, why the first chapter? Why didn't they just start with the second one? Because the second one, we can see how hard it is when one is in the first chapter in the material concept of life, how hard it is to understand even Deinos Minyata Dehe. How many of us are thinking, oh, we're going to die. Our whole life is going to be finished soon. It's all over. We didn't get a chance. We did the best we could, but we couldn't. And that's it. And they'll burn us and we'll disappear. Maybe the soul will be in the ashes. Or they'll put this into the grave and we'll rest peacefully for a while. And some people think they'll wake us up when the Lord appears again. Will rise, the bones will rise from the from the grave. He get all these the bones dancing. Hey, hallelujah! And for this, you know, for this philosophy, they built these cathedrals and these monuments. For ourselves, we're thinking, well, you know, Hare Krishna, these books, you know, who will take them seriously? We're giving them real knowledge. So unless we become convinced that this is actually real, this is what actually people need, without this, however simple what we're presenting may be in one sense, that Krishna is God, without that, the whole civilization is just going to go, I mean, it's already a mess. It's going to become more and more of a mess. It doesn't matter who's on what side of the political aisle, or who has, you know, sentiment towards the penguins or the whales, or don't cut the trees. It doesn't really matter. The whole society is going to go into the darkest regions of existence. And the only thing that can help is this Bhagavad Gita. Without chanting Hare Krishna, without hearing Bhagavad Gita, even understanding that the body's changing, but the soul's not changing. People don't understand that. They're just lost. They're just wandering around, just lost, like ghosts. Or as Prabhupada used to say, they're all ghostly and haunted. Anyhow, we should be thankful that we have the Bhagavad Gita, and that we can read it and get some actual knowledge. Otherwise, every day when I go to the Ayurvedic doctor, well, we pass by the school on the way back. See these little kids walking into the slaughterhouse, being trained up to be good citizens, so they can work like a dog, eat like a hog, have sex like a pigeon, defend themselves like a tiger, and pay their taxes. That's their education. Nothing about Bhagavad Gita, nothing about really reality. If you go to the school, especially the younger school, and say, my dear children, you know, your bodies are changing, but you're not changing, you're eternal. The children may understand it, but the people who are running the system don't want them to understand that, because they won't be materially productive like it. They won't work like an animal. Anyhow, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? I mean, a devotee should see things. We should be, otherwise, how are we going to be compassionate? We think, oh, look at what nice dresses they have on. They have nice cars. They have a nice place to live. They have the nice social welfare system here in Slovenia. Why should we disturb these people? They have a better life than we have. We're living in poverty. They're living in opulence. God loves them more than he loves us. So if we don't have a different perspective on what's going on, we'll get bewildered by the whole thing. Could you imagine? I mean, I guess we can imagine living in a house. I mean, most of us are coming from even in the Indian culture nowadays, you know, where people are just bewildered. Everyone is dissatisfied. Everyone is dissatisfied. Everyone is agitated. Everyone is fearful. And they want everyone else in their family to be just like them. They get very disturbed if you want to be different, because they think they have the highest state of, you know, civilization, and full of anxiety, fear, frustration, enmity. This is where it's at. This is what it means to be a good citizen. The government loves us. They want to do everything for us. Everything they do for us is great. Chemtrails in the sky, polluting the water, contaminating the food. They just love us. They just want everything the best for us. That's why they're working so hard to get rid of us. Any questions? Okay. Kandaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.